kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, as often as I do, the Lord tends to give me a title in which to discuss and talk about, and we have one today, and we're calling this teaching, Your Future is in Sovereign Security. Your future is in sovereign security. And we get indications of this, for example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So we see there in that verse some pretty profound statements with regard to our salvation. It says, he who calls you. Well, we know that if God does not call a people, a remnant, no one will be saved. No one will respond, because man is so interested and consumed in his own life, his own will, his own plans, his own future, that he doesn't even consider or have even time for God. But in God's sovereignty, because that's what we're talking about, his security, his sovereignty, it says quite clearly that he calls a remnant to himself. And in that calling, God reveals that he's faithful. He's faithful not only in the calling of the elect, but he is faithful to perform and do all that he promises in his word. And that's why I'm spending time in this new year to bring us back to the Word of God, to the promises of God's Word, to looking to God that he is faithful, he is sovereign. Whatever he decrees, whatever he says, desires, will happen, will come to pass, and nothing can hinder or stop it. And there are times when we battle with this, with regard to such titles like this, your future is in sovereign security, because we are living in times of where it's very insecure, and it will get worse. And there will be times of feeling, bouts of feeling, where you feel very insecure. Anything but secure. And yet God's word and promises, they don't change. They don't change at all. And yet we're going to find that these times of insecurity are going to wax stronger and stronger. And that is why we need to glean our faith and encouragement from God's word. That is why we have the revelation of God's word. Because much is going on. There is much in the news. There is much that people are talking about. We're in a global lockdown. We are in many ways in prison. There is a huge amount that is unfolding now. And we know that the powers of darkness, the very devil himself, is going all out now with what is happening. Now is the time to strike. Now is the time to go forth as that conqueror, which he will only have the power to do for a season. And it is absolutely paramount that we discern and understand the times and the seasons that we are in. I want us just to go back again, and I've been giving this over the last 6-8 months with regard to what our Saviour said with regard to discernment and discerning the end times. And turn with me, if you will, again to Matthew 24. I make no apology with regard to going to this again. You may think I sound like a broken record, but we have to get it from our Lord's mouth, what he said. And we then build our theology, our teaching, and our understanding of the book of Revelation from what he says here. And this is in Matthew 24, and we'll take it up from verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple, which is quite an ordinary thing to do. There they are. They're looking at these great buildings, the temples, just like we can go to great cities and we can look at all the architecture and everything, and we could admire what man builds. And he goes on, and Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Well, they could very well think to themselves, well, that's a bit negative. Here we are admiring what man builds, his architecture, you know, and God gives him the ability to do this. And yet, look what comes out of Jesus' mouth. And he goes on. Now, as he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So they've obviously considered what he said here. "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they've thought about this. They possibly discussed it to themselves and thinking, well, he's obviously talking about the end when he comes to rule and reign and so on. He's got their attention, and so very often they asked him, and the Lord always took them to one side and he expounded, he explained. And that's why the Holy Spirit has come back, the Comforter has come back. He said, "I will not leave you, I will come back to you." Very similar. That's why we get together. That is why we get under the anointing, under the fivefold ministry, so that the Holy Spirit can start to expound to us, just like he was doing to the disciples. Because we ask questions, we're hungry, we want to know, and the Lord is going to speak to us. He will show us from the Word of God. And Jesus answers and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." There is the first warning. We have to be on our guard. We have to discern. We have to test. We have to stay with God's word to get this discernment. "For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Well, right down through the centuries, that has happened and still happens today. Many, in other words, are coming saying, "I speak with the authority of Christ. I speak with the authority of the Spirit. Thus says the Lord," and so forth. We've heard them, and we need to be very much on our guard when we start saying, "God told me," or "God showed me." You need to know very clearly, God showed you, God told you. Because there are many out there who now believe they're prophets. YouTube is filled with many who are calling themselves prophets, having dreams and visions, and the Lord told me this, the Lord said this, and so on. And we know they wouldn't have been so quick to do that under the old covenant, because any prophet that did not line up with God's word and that it was true, we know, was stoned to death. But we are invaded with all of this today. And so we need to be on our guard. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we have seen wars and rumors of wars. There have been last two major wars, World War I and World War II, that affected the world globally in many ways. And they thought that Hitler was the Antichrist, but he was a type. It was showing what was to come. And over 6 million Jews, as we know, were murdered, with most of the world not knowing what was going on. They are warnings. They are signs of how the Antichrist is going to work in the last days. It's what it points to. For nations will rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdoms, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All of these we know is increasing. We hear it in the news. It's comes to our ears now, regular, what goes on around the world. And earthquakes are increasing alarmingly around the world. And pestilences, diseases, it's all increasing. We're seeing these strange diseases coming now that weren't around 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And we raise questions, what is causing all of this? Yes, pollution has a lot to do with it. Sadly, medical science has a lot to do with it. Our foods are messed around with. And it just goes on. And these are the beginning of sorrows, Jesus said. Why is it the beginning of sorrows? Because you can't rejoice in it. It brings sorrow to us when we see people suffer around the world, and starvation and everything. Nobody can rejoice in that. And particularly for the Christian. And he goes on, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And that is increasing. We know that that has gone on and is going on. Many Christians are persecuted badly in China and other countries and communist countries. And we're finding now that our freedom is becoming more and more restricted. The tribulations are building up. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. That is on the increase. People now are betraying, or they call it blow the whistle, or whatever it is. We're seeing Judases increasing, betraying, giving people over. Children are now giving power by law to be able to sue their parents or divorce their parents or betray them. These are laws that are going on now, being debated. Everything is changing rapidly. The state, the police are having more and more control over us. And control is witchcraft. It's the powers of darkness. That is why we're to pray and intercede. until we are taken out of all of this. And he goes on, the Lord, in verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, including the false prophet will come, who will point the world to the Antichrist. They're all there being prepared. They're all there now, these false prophets. There are many who stand behind pulpits, deceiving. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness is. God has given laws. That is why we pray for our governments, for our leaders. The nearest thing we have at the moment is democracy. And we pray for that democracy until the Lord establishes a theocracy on the world. But until then, that is what we pray for. It's the next best thing. But it says lawlessness will abound. In other words, it's going to be there, it's going to get worse. These people that demonstrate and fight, they may have truth, they may be right, but they are wrong in using violence. And that is the problem. And the enemy, of course, uses that to suppress the truth and what is true out there. And so confusion abounds yet more and more. And it goes on. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And that is exactly what we're doing. We're enduring, we're staying with it, because we know that God is sovereign. And that sovereignty is security to us. And it does seem at times as though God has left us or forsaken us, but he hasn't. We're staying in the race. We're staying faithful, we're staying with the word of God, we're staying with our meeting and so on, because that is what God is looking for. And then Jesus goes on, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, the gospel. And there it is, he goes right back to the word of God. Well, the gospel has and is going to the four corners of the earth. And God has been using technology for that. So you see, he does use things the same as this meeting today is going to the four corners of the earth. So the gospel has been preached. Now, these are the signs. Jesus made it absolutely clear in verse 14, the gospel has to be preached. It will go to the four corners of the earth. And straight away in verse 15, everything then changes. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, wherefore whoever reads him understand. And then it goes on. So everything moves towards the tribulation and the great tribulation. But the gospel has to be preached first to the four corners of the earth. You know, when a tree, a fruit tree, is ripened, it's then shaken so that all the fruit that is ripe can fall to the ground. And that is what is happening now. The fruit is ready. God is looking for the fruit. He's looking for those who are fruitful, who bear the fruit. That's why he says, by the fruit you will know them. And the tree is ready, and God is now shaking. Hebrews tells us that God will shake the heavens and the earth. And why is he doing this shaking? And I believe he's using COVID, this pandemic or plandemic. Time will tell where this comes from. But until then, he's allowing this and he's using this to reveal the fruit. Those who are faithful, those who are staying with God, staying with his word and will not deviate, because the gospel is going to the four corners of the earth and has done. And sadly, most are rejecting that invite, that call to salvation. That is the tragedy. And because they are rejecting the good news of the gospel, hence the tribulation has to come. God has to allow, he has to start to judge, because there's still a remnant out of great tribulation to reap. We know that from the man-child, Revelation 12. The woman and the woman's seed that flees into the wilderness. There God is going to preserve a remnant again from the Antichrist, who's going to make war against the church, because they didn't respond to the gospel going out to the four corners of the earth. That's why it appears there's just few of us at the moment. Why is there few of us? Because God has the first fruits that are ripening. And we know what the first fruits signify. It always signified putting the first fruits onto the altar to reveal the harvest that was to come after it. They were the offerings up to God. And you are the offerings up to God. And that is why God is going to come and rapture the first fruits, the overcomers. He's going to take the church out of this. That is his promise. And then the harvest through tribulation, great tribulation, will be reaped. We see it because many Christians will be martyred by the Antichrist. That's why I said at the beginning, they thought that Hitler was the Antichrist, but it was a type. It's what it was pointing to. There is much in history points to what is coming in the end. And so the shaking has started. A lot of people are asking, is this COVID a judgment? Well, it's an indication. It's a warning. It's God shaking. And he's allowing this because the first fruits will be seen through all of this. And they will be seen by their faith, by their standing upon the word of God. They will be seen by their discernment, their testing and knowing and understanding and discerning the signs and the times. Why most of the world are running around like headless chicken. Fear. And so on. That will not be found with the overcomers. On the contrary. You see, I believe we're beginning to see now the wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats. There's coming that division. And that is why God is allowing the shaking. And he has to shake first in the house of God before the world will finally be shaken through the tribulation. It says in the word that judgment begins first in the house of God. God is testing us. He's testing us to see whether we will remain faithful to the word, to what is revealed, to the light that we have. Because the church that is commendable in the eyes of God is the Philadelphian church out of those seven churches. We read it many times to you. Little strength, not much, not big, but has been faithful to the name of Jesus, to the word of God. And that is the church that will be preserved from judgment upon the world. all the rest of those churches and their warnings and admonitions, they're called to repent. You see, there's so much, isn't there, at the moment about this vaccine that's being pushed globally. But the point is that it's pointing to something. And that's what we have to discern. It's pointing towards what will come when the Antichrist starts to bring in the mark of the beast. Again, these are types, they are warnings. And Jesus told us we are to test, to discern, we're to see these things. We can discern and test the weather. We can discern what type of day it's going to be, and yet when it comes to spiritual matters, we can be so blind. But the overcomers are not blind to this. They see what it's pointing towards. And don't let anyone deceive you from this. We're not saying you can or you can't take the vaccine. That is between you and God. God has never given me or anyone else that authority to be categorical like that. We all walk by faith and we trust God. But it is what it's pointing to. Why am I stressing this? Because of the pressure that's being put upon you and me to take this. And that is the sign. That is the warning. That is what speaks to us. Anything that's global, that's putting pressure on us to take this, is not of God. God does not work that way. He has given us a free will. And so there's the tests. There's the signs. And we're going to see more of these. They're talking now about bringing out a digital passport, where this digital passport you have will have whether you've been vaccinated or not, to be used to travel and so on. Again, control coming. And we're going to see a lot of this being passed and happening. And that's why God calls us to pray, to intercede. Because all the while we pray and intercede, we keep this back. We keep it fettered. We keep it bound. For what purpose? So that God can accomplish in the church, in the body of Christ, He can bring us to our full maturity. Your prayers, my prayers, warfare, intercession helps me to come to maturity. Unhindered by the powers of darkness. Because once the church is caught away, snatched away, then the powers of darkness will take over. Jesus already says it there. He starts to show this in verse 15. You can read all of that yourself. And it will be like hell let loose on earth. And it will look for a season as though the Antichrist has won. And as he slaughters again God's people and the Jews, the blood of God's people and the Jews will cry to Messiah, and he will come and he will save this world. That is why Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. And we have to be in prayer. We have to pray and war against these, because it's helping you to mature and develop, to get to that place. That is why God's shown so many times in our prayers. It's like we push it back as we intercede and as we pray and as we use that mighty name, the name of Jesus. That is what happens. Hallelujah. And that's why, with what is going on, and all this with the vaccine, and lockdown, and so much, we've got to focus on God's word and sovereignty 24/7, because there is so much that is about at the moment, and a lot of it can try to deceive us, and some of it is conspiracy, and some of it is not. And we know that there are those who plant conspiracy deliberately to try and hinder the truth from being known. But again, the Holy Spirit will show this. That is why we have him. That is why he's our discernment. We test these things. The main media that we have today that appears to be so popular, I'm afraid you cannot trust it any longer. It used to be credible, but it's not anymore. But God will give us what we need to hear and know. And that's why so many now are coming up, exposing what should be brought out to the public is not. I can tell you now that we are getting information of side effects of this vaccine. That there are a lot of people out there who are having side effects through it. Fits, seizures, swellings of the tongue, and other side effects. And people, yes, have died. I know from first hand somebody who works in a home, a nursing home, said to me this week, a man, after the vaccine, about an hour later, had a seizure, a bad one. Seizures are dangerous. But is the main media telling us that? No, it is not. And it doesn't want you to know that. And this is why you can't trust now, you see. But we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. And God will lead and guide us in that truth. Why? Because he is sovereign and we are secure and held in his sovereignty. And never forget that, brothers and sisters. Well, let's just remind ourselves from the scriptures with regard to this title, Your Future is in Sovereign Security. What does Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 tell us? Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Wow. That is a wonderful verse. He says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. My peace I give unto you. Are you battling with peace? Yes, the enemy knows that God has given us that peace, and that's why he tries to attack in our minds like he does. But he's given us that peace. Not of evil. It's not in our Father's heart or nature to think or act evil towards us, even though it might look for a season, although it is, to give you a future of hope. And what a hope that is set before us. Eternity, glory with Christ. Nobody could have a greater future and hope than that. Let us not lose sight of this, brothers and sisters. And I know at times it's difficult, it's not easy, but we have to lay hold to these promises and keep with them and confess them, stay with them, and so on. What does he say in Isaiah 43, verse 10? He says that he declares his sovereignty to us. in Isaiah 43 and verse 10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. So there he reveals his complete sovereignty. And we get it at the end. And understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am that I am. There is no one else. That reveals his complete and utter supreme sovereignty. And yet, at times we doubt him. That couldn't be made any clearer, could it, brothers and sisters? Then Isaiah 42:16 tells us that he opens our eyes to see him, to see this sovereignty. Isaiah 42 and verse 16. I will bring the blind by way they did not know, and I will lead them in paths they have not known, and I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. Wow, isn't that wonderful that God opens our eyes to see how secure we are in his sovereignty. He says, I will bring the blind by the way they did not know. This is speaking of you and me. We were blind until God opens our eyes. And God still continues to open our eyes. Don't forget that. I'll lead them in paths they have not known. You've still got paths that he has for you that's not revealed yet, that he's going to make known, so that you walk in fellowship, in covenant with him. That's what those paths are for, to walk with Jesus each day in fellowship. I'll make darkness light before them. There we are. He opens up. He exposes darkness. That's why again our prayers and intercessions are so powerful, because it exposes the powers of darkness. It brings it out into God's light, which Satan hates. And crooked places straight. Well, our walk at times can seem really hazardous and dangerous. But he says, I'll make them straight. As he opens our eyes, these things I will do for them and not forsake them. He's not going to forsake us, however it looks or feels or whatever. He won't. He's bound himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's made covenant with us. And God doesn't break it. We're also told, aren't we, that God places his power within us. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9? I know you know these scriptures, but we do need to remind ourselves. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities or weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you feel weak, ineffectual? You just feel that you're of no use. What use am I to the kingdom of God? And so on. Praise God. The apostle felt that. The apostle himself struggled with that. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Many interpret that the apostle was seeking God because of his blindness and so forth. Well, we don't know clearly on that. But he was still human. He was still a man going through trials and tests and all the responsibility on his shoulder of all the churches. And he sought God. We do it sometimes. Lord, I can't take any more. I'm going under. It's too much. And we cry out to God, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I'm going to sustain you in this, to show that in weakness I make you strong. How do we know the strength of God every time we run away from every trial and tribulation, which a lot of Christendom is doing? We only know the strength of God being made perfect in weakness by not running away, by remaining faithful, even in our weaknesses. And our weaknesses can all vary, so that God's strength and power can be revealed. And you need to experience that strength, that power in your weakness, because that is what quickens your faith in God's word and promises. See, God never makes a mistake in our life, our circumstances, what we're in. He never makes a mistake. Don't ever try and work it out. It never will make any sense. But it's always on the basis that God wants to reveal the power that raised Christ from the dead is the very power in you, sustaining and keeping you in your weakness. God will always keep us in a weak state. Do you know why? Because it deals with pride in man. It deals with that independent spirit that we have and we can so easily get caught up in. That's why. And Jesus walked exactly the same. He was utterly, completely dependent upon his Father. He knew nothing unless the Father revealed. And the same with us, brothers and sisters. Your future is in sovereign security. Why? Because the word says that God's sheep hear his voice. John 10 and verse 3. Unless you hear the voice, the calling of God, you will not respond, you will not understand. And what did Jesus say here? In John 10 verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So there we are. So he knows each one, and he calls you by your name as well. Isn't that wonderful? And that's why we hear his voice. We know when he speaks. God's sheep know when God speaks. And when the enemy or the powers of darkness speak, then we get a discernment. We lose our peace, or we have to shelve it. We have to wait. But when God speaks, it is always in peace. He very often confirms and reconfirms and confirms and confirms in his mercy and grace until it drops from our heads to our hearts. That is how faith comes, by hearing that word. Well, being secure by God's sovereignty, Isaiah 48:11 tells us that he is sovereign because of his name, his glory. And that is very important to God. He says in Isaiah 48 and verse 11, for my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory to another. So God isn't going to have his name profaned. God is jealous over his glory. That's something we'll never fully understand, but we have insight in the word of God that he is sovereign, he is true, he does not lie, and God knows how to glorify his name. He's jealous for his glory, and he's making us jealous for his glory as well. How often have you found yourself crying out, Lord, when will you glorify your name? When will you declare to the people that you are the true and living God? Have you ever had that crying out of you? I have. And why do we do that? Because we want his glory to be seen. We want the world, the nations to see that God sits on the throne. And it cries out of us. And that's a clear sign that he's a defender of his name and his glory. That's why we can believe and trust in his security, in his faithfulness, and hold on to it. Another one to look at to remind ourselves how the word of God, confession, keeps us. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and I'll just read a few verses here from verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And then he goes on about if you've sinned and so on, what to do. So there we are. Our future is in sovereign security because he's provided through the blood of the Lamb our weaknesses, our shortcomings that we can confess and get it dealt with by the blood of Jesus. So there again is the sovereignty of God because he knows human nature. He knows we're weak. He knows we go through various tests and trials. And so thank God we have chapters like this in the Word of God that helps us. And so on. And it's all there. You can read that whole one. And finally, let's look at Ephesians 6 and verse 10. We're using scripture, these promises, to show you that your future is in sovereign security. God is sovereign. And you are secure in that sovereignty. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So there you are. You are strong. You are powerful in your weakness, in his strength and sovereignty. And the apostle is absolutely categorical here in verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He does such mighty things in and through us. And so we have nothing to fear with what's happening and what's going on and will happen and the shaking that's going on now in the world. As I said at the beginning, God is looking at that fruit tree and the fruit is ripe, it's ready. And what do with a fruit tree? You shake it in order to get the fruit off. But not all fruit will come off that tree because some fruit still needs time to mature. But if you don't shake that tree and get off the fruit that now has matured. If you continue to leave that fruit on the tree, it will start to go off. It will go bad. And God cannot have that. And so he's shaking and the fruit is falling. But there will still be fruit left that still has to mature. How do you know this? How do I know this? You look at an apple tree and you start to pick apples and you get bunches of apples. And you can see them clustered together and you see one or two that are ripe and ready, but you don't take some of them because you know they still need a few more weeks to ripen. That is what is happening now, brothers and sisters. As I read to you in Matthew 24, the gospel has gone to the four corners of the earth. It is going to the four corners of the earth. That is happening. It has happened. And we are now at the threshold. We are now at the end. We are now soon to see tribulation and the great tribulation starting. Do not ignore these signs that are being shown us right now. And do not run away from it in fear. But be like King David, who went with his sling towards Goliath the giant and said, I'm well able to take that giant. And he ran toward him. And he smote that giant. He stunned him. Because that giant, that Philistine, was blaspheming the armies of God. He was blaspheming Israel. And God is sovereign, and he will not have his name blasphemed, which is what the world, the nations, the governments are doing. And he ran towards him, and we know the story, with his sling, that pebble sunk into his forehead, but he knew he had got to finish the job. And he finished the job by loving off his head. That then revealed the victory was done. It was not enough to stun him. He had got to cut off his head. They are spiritual lessons for us to learn. That is why we're in spiritual warfare, brothers and sisters, and our prayers and intercessions must be effective. It must do the job. This is no time for burying our heads in the sand. This is no time to be relaxing or going back in fear. The first fruits unto the Lord, the overcomers, have that tenacity, that spirit, that heart, just like that little shepherd boy, King David, had. He didn't even think about fear. He knew his skill was in that sling. Your skill is in God's word, the promises of his word, which are true and yes and amen. That is our confidence, our security. Father, we thank you for your mercy, love and grace. Oh Lord, you know how to speak to us, help us and encourage us. Lord, we don't have to keep apologizing for our weaknesses, because it's our weaknesses you're showing that you make us strong. And we're all weak. We've all got areas we're ineffectual. But you've clearly shown in your sovereignty that not only are we eternally secure, but that you strengthen us by your might and power. Oh Lord, we thank you for this. May we be led by your Spirit. Thank you, Father, that we are the first fruits unto you. And even though you are shaking the heavens and the earth, we are your people, set apart unto you unto holiness. And so, Father, my prayer for my brothers and sisters, Lord, you will ever preserve and keep them in the faith. May you give them the words and the boldness to declare the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this dying world. And may our light ever shine brighter and stronger for the glory of God. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Jesus, our Father.